Stop. Okay, gentlemen, I understand that you've all been learning the Seches Megillah and the Inert back to front. So we're going to the back, to Zion on the base, and we're going to learn the sugya, the very famous sugya, of getting drunk on Purim. And I hope you don't take this too personally, but I thought this shaila might be appropriate from what I witnessed at the football match and other places. The shaila is for people who are drunk every day of the year. What is their din about getting drunk on Purim? Have they got the same chiv as everybody else to get drunk on Purim? Or do they say no? Since they're drunk all the rest of the year and Purim has to be different, maybe they've got a chiv not to drink on Purim. Now, to understand this, we're going to have to look at what you're chayv to drink on Purim, who's chayv to drink on Purim, and what it's all about. You might say, well, of course there's a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. Everybody knows that. But it's not so simple. Because one of the inyanim of Purim is it's got to be the opposite of the rest of the year. You've all heard of the song, V'na Pochu? That's V'na. We can sing it later. Everything is the opposite of what it seems. The whole Megillah is based on Hester Ponim. Everything seems to be the opposite of what seems to meet the eye. All the names in the Megillah, you will not find them in the history books. You won't find Achashverosh in any of the old history books of the Persian Chronicles or any places like that. There's a Hagansa Machlokas who he might have been. Some say he was Cambyses, some say he was Xerxes, some say he was Artaxerxes. There are all sorts of nice Persian names, but nobody calls them Ahasuerus. And that's actually why the Gemara gives all sorts of explanations. The Midrashim, some say he was called Achashverosh because he was Ochiv Shel Roish, the brother of who? Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't the brother of Nebuchadnezzar because they lived at different times. But it means he was the brother in attitude and outlook and in behavior and in power. That's one pshat. Another pshat is Och Leroish. Anybody who came into contact with him got a headache. We all met people like that. But Achashverosh was particularly like that. If you bumped into him, you said, Och, to my Rosh. Och, I got a bad headache when having dealt with him. And that's actually why Big Son and Seresh wanted to bump him off. The reason why they wanted, why do you think they wanted to bump the king off? Do you know why? He drove them mad. You know, they were his servants, and they kept them up all night. Go and get me a lemonade. He came back and said, I didn't want lemonade, I wanted Sprite. So then he would go down and get Sprite, come back and said, I didn't ask for Sprite, I wanted cola. And this is what, which would go on all night long. The poor fellow's got no day, no night. They got so fed up with it that they decided to try and plot to get rid of him. Because they said, Och Leroish. Now that's Achashverosh. We also know that Esther, her real name was Hadassah. We know that Mordechai's real name was, he had two other names. One was Bilshon and one was Pesachio. His real name was probably not Mordechai. And Chazal Darshan, the different names. Everything in the Megillah is hidden. That's one of the reasons for the Minhag to go around with masks on. People put on Purim to go around dressed up and they put a mask on so you can't tell what's behind it. And all these Minhagim have that Makor. And in fact, if you think about it, there is a central word in the Megillah called V'nahapoch, where everything was the opposite of what was supposed to happen. And just as a remes to this, who can tell me how many psukim there are in the Megillah? Now you can look at the end of the Megillah and you'll see a note there that says 166 in the Masorah, but that's not our Masorah. There is a Masorah which has 166 psukim, but if you count them up carefully, you'll find there were 167 psukim in the Megillah. Gematria v'nahapoich. Work it out. V'nahapoich is exactly 167. So there are 167 psukim in the Megillah, and those psukim, the whole Megillah is telling you, don't look at it as it stands in front of you, look behind it to see what's going on. Now, the Megillah is called Megillas Esther. Why isn't it called Megillas Mordechai v'Esther, or Megillas Mordechai? Why is it called Esther? There's a number of reasons. One of the reasons is because of Hester upon him. The whole of the Megillah is hidden. So if in fact there's a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim, maybe that is because the rest of the year you're not allowed to get drunk, not supposed to. But somebody who's drunk the whole year round, it comes to Purim, maybe he's got a chiyuv not to be drunk because you've got an exact opposite. Is that pshat or is that not pshat? Well, in order to understand that, we're going to have to go into the whole sugya. The next question is, who says there's a chiyuv to get drunk altogether? Maybe there isn't a chiyuv to get drunk. And who says that? What do you have to drink? What, you got your hand up? Are you asking a question?
Yeah. What's considered drunk all year round?
Sorry.
What's considered drunk all year round?
Oh.
What he's trying to say is that if on Purim you get extremely drunk, then maybe that's opposite all year round. You're only
half drunk.
Right.
Yeah. Good point. Well, we're going to come to a maskana that even if you're drunk during the rest of the year, you do still have to drink on Purim. But we're going to get to that maskana.
Thank God.
I thought you'd be happy to hear that. But first of all, let's see how we get there. I've given you a possible svara that on Purim you're going to do the opposite. Now, what is the chiyuv to drink on Purim? Where does it come from? So let's look at the Gemara and let's see whether we can work it out from the Gemara. The Gemara starts off with a famous Gemara, Omar Rovo, Michayev Inish Levesumi Bepuria. A person is chayev to get drunk on Purim. Ad Delo Yoda Ben Orur Homon Leboruch Mordechai. Until he can't tell the difference between Orur Homon and Boruch Mordechai. Now this is a very, very, very unusual form of mitzvah. Very, very different. But there's more questions. If you learn the Gemara carefully, it doesn't say Chayev Omer Ishtaker. It says Levesumi. What does Vesumi mean? Well, but we're not even that is not clear because we have the Girsa Levesumi. But look at Rashi. Rashi says Leavsumi. What's the difference between Levesumi and Leavsumi? Now, I know you probably don't know much Hebrew dictum, let alone Aramaic dictum, but there is the difference between what's called the ordinary binyan and the hispael binyan. A hispael is where it comes reflexive. Anybody speak French here? Yeah? Well, do you know the difference in French between laver and se laver? No? Nobody?
No.
What's lave?
Lave?
Lave.
Love?
Yeah. Not love! Oh, I thought it was French.
Drink?
What? No. Lave is to wash. No problem. That's why I don't know what it means. Lave is to wash. Se lave is to have a bath, to wash yourself. Rashi says it's quite often in Chumash, when Rashi's trying to show a reflexive, he adds the word se to this translation, belaz. If you go through the Rashi and Chumash, you'll see it. So it's the same thing in Hebrew. If I say, livvesume, that means to make drunk. Leavsume means to make yourself drunk. If besume means to make drunk. There's a machlokes what this word besume means. According to Rashi, and according to the Rambam, and according to Shulchan Aruch, livvesume means to drink. However, there are other shittas which hold, livsumi doesn't mean to drink, livsumi to become merry, to get yourself joyful and become merry. But it could also, there's another shitta, the shitta of the Rabbeinu Avigdor, who says, livsumi doesn't mean to make yourself drunk, you shouldn't be drunk, you make other people drunk, give it to other people, livsumi, make other people drunk. But Rashi clearly doesn't learn like that, because Rashi says, le'avsumi, le'avsumi is lispael, to make to yourself, le hishtaker, le shaker means to make somebody else drunk, with a chof. With a kuf, of course, it means to tell a lie. But with a chof means to make somebody else drunk, le shaker. But le hishtaker means to make yourself drunk. Right, got it? Right. So, there are a number of shittas as to what this livsumi is all about. First of all, is it getting drunk altogether or just getting a bit merry? Besomim, make yourself sweet and make yourself merry. There are shittas among the Rishonim who say there's no mitzvah to get drunk on Purim altogether. The mitzvah is just to get a little bit drunk. If you look at the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, the Moruch says you should have a little bit more than your normal herigol. I don't know when it's normal, but he was talking about cracker in Poland in those days. He wasn't talking of Levaria in the 21st century. All right, but clearly is a machloikus as to what Rova means. However, Rov Rishonim, Rashi and Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say, Rashi And the Gemara, Rova, Paskins, a person is chayiv to become shikha. And if you look carefully at the Shulchan Aruch, very clear, chayiv adam leshtake bapurim, you're chayiv. However, although Rova says that, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like that, not everybody Paskins like this Rova. We'll see in a second. Let's go further. So remember, we've had a number of different shittas as to whether it means to become drunk, or whether it means just to become a little bit merry, drink a little bit more than usual, or whether it means to make somebody else drunk, gives other people to drink, but not yourself. So they're all different shittas. But however, l'halocha, it's quite clear that you have to get drunk on Purim. But what with? What do you have to get drunk with? Can you use whiskey? Can you use beer? Or does it have to be something special? Wine. That's also a machlokus. And that depends on the yasod of why we're getting drunk on Purim. If we say we're getting drunk on Purim because we have to be merry, well, it could well be that you could have any drink. But if you have to get drunk on Purim because of the special inyan of remembering the nisim which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, nisim geluyim throughout the whole of the story of Purim, even though it looked as though it was all nature and teva, but we know it was full of ness, at every stage wine came into the picture. It was always wine. The Yidden drank wine when they shouldn't have done with the goyim. So what happens? They get punished. What happens to Vashti? How does Vashti get killed? Because the king drank a bit too much wine, got himself drunk, and therefore Vashti got herself killed. Later on, Esther makes a party for the king, she makes it with wine. And everything, wherever you come through the Megillah, it's always wine. And therefore there are many poskim who hold, you cannot get drunk on beer or whiskey, it's got to be wine. Now that would be another way of answering my question which I said before, Vanapochu. Because most people who get drunk during the year don't get drunk on wine. If during the year you get drunk normally on beer or whiskey, and then you come to Purim, you can have your napoich by leaving out the whiskey and the beer and just drinking the wine. So mainly you've got your napoich, therefore you've answered my question, even according to that shita. You got it, whichever way you look at it. Let's just continue with the Gemara. The Gemara is a very unusual thing. It says, Mechayiv inish livsumi bepuria, ad, oh, and we asked why this vesumi, not lishtaker. It seems there's more an Indian, not so much of becoming shikha, but becoming basumi, which means to become merry. And although Rashi does say it's lashon of shikrus, it could be that was the lashon which they used. Ad de lo yoda ben oror homon de baruch mor. Now, where on earth have you ever found a mitzvah to get drunk and lose your hakorah and lose the capability of doing mitzvahs? Where do you find such a thing? The whole of our Musa Sfarim are teaching us, be careful not to get drunk. Be careful to be in control of your faculties. Since when do we find such an inyan that you're actually, Chazal, which is the Torah, are telling us, get drunk, and then you can't do any more mitzvahs. You'll be drunk. Where do you get such a thing? And why add to lo yada ben oral homo le baruch mordechai? What's this gedder? Why this? Get drunk until you can't cope anymore. So the Mefarshim talk about this. I think I'm going to go back to that because it's necessary to do the next bit of the Gemara first. Everybody knows the famous story of Rabbo and Rabbi Zeira Ovdu Sudas Purim Behadi Adodi. Rabbo and Rabbi Zeira made a Purim Suda together. Ifsum, says Rashi, Nishtakru, they got drunk. They both got drunk. Everybody agrees here, if so means they were reflexively drunk. Well, that's what happened. Kom Rabbo Shochtel Rab Zeira. Rabbo got up and killed Rab Zeira. Now, do you really believe that Rabbo got up and killed Rab Zeira? Can you imagine an Amoira could kill Rab Zeira? Is it Shaykh? It's mind-boggling. Can't be. And then the Gemara says, Lemochar boy Rachim, and the next morning, after he'd been dead all night, the next morning he saw he's lying dead there, so he got him up and he made a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Achya, and he brought him back to life. You know, we talk about that our own were capable of this. But what's going on here? In fact, the Kasha is so strong, that the Meiri, for example, say it's not shochte, it's sochte. Sochte means he pressed him and squeezed him. In modern Hebrew, lischot means to blackmail somebody, to squeeze him. So it doesn't mean he killed him physically, it means he squeezed him and pushed him so much to drink that he got so drunk that he lost his ability to function as a person with proper intelligence. Chas v'sholom, he didn't kill him. Sochte, he pressed him and squeezed him. The Marsha says something different. Sochte means, Marsha asked the Kasha, should have said hemisa or kotle. Kotle is to kill. Why didn't Shochte use it? So Marsha says, if it's a shochte and not kotle, it means it's clearly not murder in the same sense of killing the person. Shochte means he did something with his throat. What did he do with his throat? What do you do with your throat? You talk. What else do you do with your throat? You drink. Shochte, he kept on pouring wine down his throat until he couldn't take it anymore and he passed out. So that's what shochte means. He didn't kill him. He just made him unable to function anymore. Therefore, the next morning he had a hangover and he wasn't well. So he prayed for him and achle, he got better and he recovered. Lashana, the following year, Amalei Nesi Ma'avinevid Siddhas Purim Badi Adadi. We enjoyed it so much last year. Let's do it again this year. So what did he say? Amalei Lo B'chol Shaita V'Shaita Misrachesh Nisa. You know, you nearly killed me last year, and I managed to come back to life only with great tefillas and nisim. It may not happen again, and I don't want to be that. That's the story. Now, what is this Maisa doing? What's it trying to tell us? What are we learning from this Maisa? Comes along certain Rishonim, and they say, this Maisa is brought to prove that Rova is not the Halacha. This Maisa is brought in the Gemara to prove categorically that Rova cannot be Halacha. Rova says it's chayiv to get drunk, and the Gemara brings a Maisa where the drink was so bad, it was so damaging, that one of them nearly got killed. What's the Gemara trying to tell us? That what Rova did says is wrong. You shouldn't. We can't. You mustn't. And now Chaim, Rabbeinu Ephraim, is quoted as saying, yes, you can drink a little bit more than usual to have it be jolly, but chas v'shalom, don't dare get drunk, because if you get drunk, you'll end up like Rabbah and Rabzera, and Rabbah and Rabzera is brought after Rava to prove that Rava is wrong. There's another, more talk of this as well, because Rava is later Amora than Rabbah and Rabzera. So the Rabbah and Rabzera, if they were being quoted, they should have been quoted in the Gemara before Rava. Because you always quote the earlier one first, and then you bring the later ones afterwards. That's how Gemara goes. You mention the earlier ones, and then later you bring the later, the Basra comes afterwards. So why on earth is Rava mentioned first, and only later they bring the mice of Rava and say, which must have happened well before Rava said what he said? That's the wrong place to bring it. Elamai, why was it brought? Says the Rishonim, why was it brought? Not to tell us that the order of things which happened. Not to tell us a stammer meiser like that. No, it's to tell us the halacha. And the reason why Rabbah and Rav Zera are brought after Rava is because the Gemara wanted to tell you the halacha is not like Rava. That's what they say.
And the question is why Rabbah and Rav Zera drank so much if they were before Rava. Rava was one of those mechadosh zdiv.
If Rav, no, Rav's not Machadish. Obviously, there must have been before. Obviously. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do before? There wasn't any proof. What did the Shimon HaTzadik do? Or there were people like that. What did they do? They also had a Purim.
Yeah, but the Shazif, they drank. Maybe they didn't drink wine at all.
No, but Rav wasn't Machadish in New Halacha, which wasn't there before him. That doesn't happen. No, Rav is saying there's a din and the besmish. Before that, people knew what to do. Rav is passing. Or maybe the different minhagim in different parts of the world. Comes along Rav, we're now making shas, we've got to make the final halacha. That's not a problem. But in the Chalam, what you're saying explains why we can bring Rav and Rav Zera even after Rav has said it, but it should have been mentioned before. That's what he says. The problem, but the other Rishonim don't hold like that. The other Rishonim say Rav is halacha, and the halacha is like Rav. Normally. So why was the Maisa brought? So there are various truths into that. One teretz is, it doesn't come to tell us that the halacha is not like Rava. If so, he should have said so. The Gemara should have said, Rava's the low kirchasa. Other people disagree with it. what it that can't be why it was brought. So why was it brought? It's telling us, although Rava is telling us that Aloch is to become Shikah, that's only if you're able to hold yourself at that level. If you're not capable of holding it yourself at that level, says Rava, look what says the Gemara, look what can come out from it. Then you've got to, if you're not capable of being at the level that Rava wants you to be, then maybe you've got to find some other Eitzah out of it. Not to end up like Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira. Also, some Rishonim say, that if Be'emes, Rava is wrong, and Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira are right, that shouldn't have happened, why could Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira not have come the next year, and then had a meal together, and made a condition, a great gedolim, and say, we're not going to drink wine at this meal, you look after me, and I'll look after you. For example, if you haven't davened Ma'ariv, then you have a situation where you want to eat, you've got to find a shomer to look after you. So if two people are eating together, and one makes the other a shomer, you're allowed to eat. But you're allowed to eat, and then each one is shomer the other one. So also here, why could Rabbah and Rabbi Zeira not be shomer each other? Why could they not be shomer each other? At the next...
Why would they even do it in class,
please? We're saying that Rabbah did not want to have the Suddhas Puma and Rabbi Zeira next, in case the same thing happens again. Good, a very good question. A very good question. How did it happen in the first place?
Right. Knew that is wrong. They should have done it first.
But then you can ask that according to the other Rishonim as well. According to the other Rishonim, you must say that you're not allowed to do it. Why did they do it? Why did they do it? The answer is
probably held that it was right.
They may have held that it was you can't say he wasn't allowed to do it, but there was no chiv to do it, and they did it, and things went so badly wrong that they realized from what happened that maybe we should put an end to it. It's a good question, actually, but that's how you've got to explain it. Now, let's go weiter. So, we've got, from that reason, the other Rishonim said, on the contrary, this is a raya that you do have to become Shikah, because otherwise Rabbu and Rabbi Zeira would have been able to be Shomer each other. The fact that they couldn't have the meal next year is a raya that there is a chiyuv to get drunk, and therefore by being together they would not have had the Shemira. Since they didn't have any Shemira, it was not possible for them to be together. You would go too far. Had they been on their own, they would have done the right amount. So therefore, you've got those Rishonim who say that Rava is the Halach, and on the contrary, this Maisa is a proof to Rava. It's not a kasha against Rava. Whereas the other Rishonim, Rabbi Ephraim, is saying on the contrary, this Gemara is a disproof of Rava.
According to those Rishonim, why couldn't they get a shomer? Because everyone else is drunk. Off.
No, if there's a chiyuv to eat to drink, then the shomer is not going to help. Because you've got your chayiv to drink. Your shomer is not going to stop you when you get to that last point. A shomer can't do that. A shomer can stop you drinking altogether, but he's not going to stop you. And also, if the other one's got a chayiv to be drunk, what use is a shomer if he's also drunk? That's why the Suda Gedola, a shomer may not be good enough, because he's also at the Suda Gedola perhaps. It's not so poshut, anyhow. All right, so all I'm trying to show you is that the different Rishonim learn differently in the Gemara. Comes along the famous Rambam, and the Rambam says, very simple. Yeah, there's a chiyuv to get drunk, just like the Shulchan Aruch says, a chiyuv to get drunk, but you then go to sleep. As Rambam says clearly, you go to sleep. And by sleeping, you're mekayim ad lo yoda. Where does the Rambam get this from? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. Nowhere in the Gemara does it say, you've got to go to sleep. And other people ask on the Rambam, when the Gemara says Mechai Vishnu Sumadilo Yad Ben Olam Ve'Olam Mordechai, why doesn't the Gemara say Mechai Vishnu Vesumi Bepurya Ad Sheyir Odam, until he fell asleep, until he falls asleep? Pardon? Rambam.
Yeah.
Well, hold a second. Interesting you should say that, because there's a Machlokes Achroinim Mr. Pshat in Rambam. There are Achronim, like the Aruch HaShulchan and others, who say that the Rambam goes like the Shittas Rabbeinu Ephraim, that you're not chayiv to get completely drunk. You mustn't get completely drunk. And therefore, it's only, therefore you go to sleep. And you, in order that you don't get properly drunk. That's what he says. But that lechayra, the other acharim disagree, and the proper pshat in the Rambam, I think, is like this. The Rambam is saying, you see from the maisa of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeir that there are dangers in getting drunk. It's not so posh. There are dangers in getting drunk. It's fine if you're at the madrega of a person who can control himself when he's completely drunk. That's fine, that's okay. In the olden days it might be possible. But you see that even at the time of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeir, there was a problem. If they drank too much, they couldn't control it. Rabbi Zeir probably wouldn't have been able to control himself, but Rabbi kept on pressing him to have more. And because he pressed him to have more, poor old Rabbi Zeir nearly died because of it. Therefore, Rabbi Zeir realized, we can't go so far. It's not shayach to go so far. So what did Rabbi Zeir do? Rabbi Zeir then withdrew from it. Says the Rambam, but in our day, we're nowhere near as great as Rabbi and Rabbi Zeir. Nowhere near. And therefore, says, what are we going to do? There's a mitzvah, which the Gemara says, like Rabbi Zeir, chayav to be shikr. But at the same time, if you're shikr, you might go mad altogether, and you shouldn't be shikr. How do you reconcile the two? It's all very well if you learn that Rebbe Enu Ephraim, who says there's no chiv to get shikr at all in the first place. So drink a little bit more, okay. And then you're a little bit more merry. But if you're going to hold, like Rashi and the Pashtus in the Rambam, there's a chiv to get shikr, how are you going to deal with it? So the Rambam says, Poshet to Eitzah. The Rambam says, go drink a lot more and go straight to sleep. Because when you're asleep, you don't know the Adla Yoda. So the Rambam is giving you an Eitzah lift because we're not at the Madrega that we used to be, and there's a Chir to get Shikr, you're going to have to reconcile the two somehow. So how do you reconcile the two? You drink, and then you have a Shlof. And there you Mekayim everything. I'm sure that's the Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam, although the great Acharonim hold that the Rambam holds that Rabbeinu Ephraim, the majority of the Acharonim learn that the Rambam holds that Be'emes, there is a chiv to get drunk, but because the Rambam was very makpid to protect ourselves and not to overdo it and not to go in the wrong direction, therefore he said you can have an eitzah how to get out of it, so you shouldn't lose control and make yourself look stupid and do all sorts of avedas when you're drunk. Therefore, he says, go to sleep. And when you wake up, you're like, right, you might have a little bit of a hangover, but at least you will have been yotze everything. Right, any questions, sir? Yeah.
According to this chapter, then Rava is arguing on Rava.
According to which chapter?
According to what you're saying in the Rambam.
No. Rava is saying that you've got to get so drunk, Adlo Yoda. Rambam says, what is the ofen of kiyum of Adlo Yoda? The Ofen HaKiyum of Adlo Yoda is to be asleep.
But so why didn't Rava say to go to sleep?
Oh, because Rambam is only saying it for people who can't stay awake and control themselves. Because the Rambam says, B'dorenu, 1,000 years after Rava, it's not shayach to be able to do what the Ikar did, is to get drunk and to behave properly while you're drunk. But the Rambam says we're not at that madrega. You can see we're not at that madrega because even Rabbi and Rabbi Zeir weren't at that madrega. If they weren't at that madrega and couldn't reach that, then the eighth is to get drunk and then you become at Leoda of Ofenachet. That's what he says.
Rava then is still being chaylik on Rava because Rava was before Rava.
Rava's saying the Ikar HaDin in the Chinami. It could be that Rava held that it was still possible to get properly drunk and control yourself. Remember this. You've got to remember Rabbi Zeir was a tremendous koyach, and he was completely in control of all his midas. And I can imagine somebody like that who gets drunk might find it very, very difficult. You see, if a person's drunk all the way around and gets a bit more drunk on Purim, it's nishkafelik, he knows how to handle himself. But somebody's never got drunk in his life before. Have you ever seen a person first time drunk? They're sick, they can't control themselves. It's completely different. So it could be that Rabbi Zeir was in that category, and Mimela, for him, it was not shayach, and the Rambam is saying that just as in Rabbi Zeir, who was not capable of controlling himself, so also, in Rambam, it was not possible. Kal v'chaymer b'yameinu ein onu. In our day today, they clearly were not capable of not saying any Lashon Hara. You know what these boys do when they're drunk with the Rebbes? I mean, you know, who says it's mutter to make fun of the Rebbes like that? You know, there's a limit. All right, some fun they can put up with. But there comes to sometimes it's overdone. And sometimes it can be jolly embarrassing. I've seen cases, unfortunately, where I don't know where to put myself. You know, how can the people... It's fine if the thunder make of the Rebbe builds him up a little bit, makes him, you know, but sometimes it can be very embarrassing then going to private affairs of the Rebbe and his wife and Mishpacha Zachen. It can be very, very embarrassing. She says, Mamish Kenegah the Torah. Kenegah. How can you allow that? So there's got to be Gevulim somewhere along the line. And the Rambam is saying that as far as he was concerned, go to sleep better. Oh, but the Ikka Hadin is to get drunk. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, the Chabad Paschas is a mitzvah to get drunk. Yes, sir.
Mechayr, if you want to be Mekayim, the mitzvah Karoi, according to the Rambam, the Adelo Yoda has to come from wine. So the person, Shulchayr, should be careful when he falls asleep. He should be falling asleep because of the wine and not stand falling asleep. Otherwise,
yeah,
Adelo Yoda is not
because of the wine. Yeah, Lechayr, that's right. You look at the Lashon of the Rambam, he says you drink, and then mitoich the drink, shirodem because of it. The truth of the matter is most people who drink do feel tired. And what happens very often, we control ourselves from going to sleep because it's not bedtime yet. But what the Rambam says, don't control yourself. If, you know, on holiday, you might go to bed in the afternoon at 2 o'clock and have a little nap. If you're in a business or you're in, they've got to go to a cement to go to, you just got to control yourself. But if, for example, it comes to driving a car when you're drunk, has for sure, you wouldn't do it. So says the Rambam here, you get yourself drunk, therefore there's the wish to go to sleep because you're drunk. Don't overcome that wish. Don't try and play it down. I'd rather go to sleep on it. And the Ramor says the same thing, Kimat. Look, I remember there's a lot of deal as to what the Ramor holds, but the fear of Vinyas Dati, when I went into it several years ago, I haven't gone into it again now, but when I went into it then, it was clear to me that the Ramor was following the Psak of the Rambam. And therefore, what he's saying is, nowadays, if you can't control yourself properly when you're drunk, then go to sleep. And most of us fit into that category. Now, there is another shitta, and this is the famous Marshaw in Baba Metzia. The Gemara in Baba Metzia says there are three people who are Avidi Rabbanan de Mishani b'Milayu. They didn't tell the truth. What were the three things? One was b'Maseches. That means if somebody asks, do you know Megillah inside out? You finished all Masechta. You're permitted to say, no, I don't know it all that well. You're allowed to say, don't know. Don't worry, you don't have to tell the truth. I know you know it perfectly, backwards and forwards. But if it's quite all right for you to say, I don't know it perfectly, because that's otherwise you're showing the middle of Gaiva. Puria. Rashi intends to say Puria means when if somebody asks you what went on in the bedroom in your private life, you don't have to start telling what happened in private. It's that sneer stick. And finally, Ushpizaram is somebody is a marvelous cook, and you praise that person too much to people who are Inshi de Lomali, to people who are not good people, and they will take advantage of the situation, and they will go to that woman and drive her mad and so forth. You don't have to say the truth about them. You know, she's not such a marvellous cook after all, because otherwise you're causing her too much damage. And those three things is connected with the famous Gemara of Mitzvah Lashanas Mipnei Shalom. If it's a question of Shalom bias, you're allowed to tell a little bit deviation from the truth. You've got a Gedorim to that, but that's the Gemara in Yevamos. But Rasha is a famous Marsha. Marsha says the second one of the three I mentioned, Puria, does not mean bed, like Rashi and Tosis learn. He says Puria means Purim. On Purim, he says, it's permitted not to tell the truth. If a person feels he's not capable of drinking and controlling himself properly, or drinking and going straight to bed and going to sleep, better he shouldn't drink. But if he doesn't drink, then he's not being Mekai in the mitzvah of Shtia, and then you've got to do that. It's virtually a Rav. A Rav's got to show what to keep the mitzvahs. So what does he do? Says the Marsha, if somebody asks whether you're drunk, and you're not drunk, you're permitted to say you are drunk. You can behave as if you're drunk, even if you never drank a drink of wine. And he suggests that those people who are, when they're drunk, don't behave properly, they won't bench, the court say Lashon Hara, they'll start machlokas, better don't drink. But since there's a mitzvah to drink, and we don't want other people to think you haven't kept the mitzvah, it's better that you should be Mishana B'Milayu, and you're allowed to say that you are drunk. and you act pretending to be drunk. So that's a famous marshal that many Rabbonim have to rely upon. I don't know how many boys rely upon it, but it is it is mentioned that if you are not capable of controlling your drink, then you can be Mishana. So now we've got a whole spectrum of different opinions. You've got the opinion which says you're chayav to drink, full stop. You've got the opinion which says, no, you mustn't drink, only a little bit more so you get a little bit more, have a bit more pleasantness. That's another shitta. And then you've got the shitta of the Rambam says, yes, you are chayav to drink, but we're so worried that maybe you will misuse your abilities once you're drunk, so then you have a sleep. And now we've got the Mashal saying that if Bisman Azeh you will misuse your powers once you're drunk, then better not to get drunk at all and just be Mishana and pretend that you are drunk. Those are the spectrum of shittas. Which one applies, that I have to leave to each individual to decide what he should do. Now let's go back to the question of the what drink to have. As I say, most people say it's wine you've got to have, because wine, as I said to you before, was what created the whole of the whole simcha. And yayin somehow or other has in it powers which other things don't have. Grapes and wine are remarkable in the sense that wine is the only thing which has a bracha on its own. Most things you squeeze out the juice, it's shahakol. You squeeze out the juice of an orange, it's orange, it's shahakol. You squeeze out the juice of an olive, okay, you may have a Bari Priyats on your hands. But nowhere do you get a special bracha of Bari Priyagofen. And because as soon as you squeeze the grape, it's already wine. It's immediate. And it doesn't go off. It gets better with age. Most things go rotten with age. Wine gets better with age. Wine has certain properties which make it suitable for Kiddush, for the Nesachim on the Mizbeach. Wine is something special. It's something which we should try to aspire to. We should try to be. It gives you great joy and happiness. And Yain is Mesamech, etc., etc. And the longer you live, the better it gets. We didn't got to take the Musa from the wine. And as I said, wherever you turn through the Megillah, wine keeps coming up. I asked you at the beginning, where do you find a mitzvah to get drunk? And the Rishonim, they ask. Those who disagree with them actually say, it's ridiculous to say there's a mitzvah to get drunk. What's it all about? And they say, Robert didn't even mean it, according to some Rishonim. He said, Lev Sumi doesn't mean to get drunk. It means to get more jolly. So how do the other Rishonim who say it means to get drunk explain it? But what we said is, this kash is already asked in the Avud Raham, and it's quoted in the Chai Odom, and it's brought down in the Bir Halacha B'Shem the Chai Odom and B'Shem the Avud Raham. They say that the reason is because so much happened through the wine, every turn in the Megillah was wine, therefore Chachomu and Mesakim, we've got to get the message. And the message is that the wine is what is can be fantastic and cause Nesachim and Kiddush and all. But if you get it wrong, what happened to Noach when he came out with the Yechud? He also drank wine, and look what happened to him. And look, wine can make. Why did they make a gezeirah on Stam Yeinon with the Goyim? Because look what happens. If you get it wrong, it's a terrible thing. You get it right, it's perfect. And therefore, we've got to learn how to control ourselves even when we're completely drunk. That's the Chiddush. Purim, it means you've got to know how to use all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, all the pleasures for the right thing. When you boys play football, there's nothing wrong with playing football as long as you play football Hashem Shemayim. What do you mean? Anything you laugh? How can you play football Hashem Shemayim? You should be learning Gemara. No. Whatever you do in life, if it's tachlistic and done Hashem Shemayim, I can tell you, football is fantastic in certain respects. Not the time you're supposed to be learning Gemara. But if you need relaxation, you need exercise. If you don't exercise yourself, your body falls apart. There's a mitzvah in the Torah of Nishmatim Yodas Nafesh Hashem. You've got to look after your body. That's a mitzvah that's in the Torah. So you do have to do exercise. Also from football you can learn how to pass the ball to other people, not to keep it always for yourself. You learn how different parts of the field. You've got a goalkeeper who's standing at the back, and you've got a centre forward, what we used to call a centre forward, you call them a striker. They're at the front, and This is teamwork. It's achdus. That's what Purim is all about. Purim is about achdus and shalom and reyus. That's why we have mishloach manos, ish l'reyehu. While we each have to, in particular, make sure that not only do we give matonis levion, yes, that's also important, in many ways more important, but there's also an inyan mishloach manos that we should keep together with shalom. And what, when Haman attacked the Eden, it says quite clearly in the Megillah, why? Because they're all scattered over. So the Chazal says that they didn't work together. However, Esther says, Lech Kenois Golin, and bring them all together, and then we'll have a fast together, and we'll all work together. It doesn't want you the same thing. You'll have people who'll be a doctor, and the people who'll be cleaners, and you'll have people who are secretaries, and people who are solicitors, and people who are rabbonim. But we're all working for the same goal. We're all trying to help together. That's why the 12 shvot, and each one had a different tichunas hanefesh. That's why Beis HaMedrash has to have 12 windows, because so the hashpor from the shemaim can come down 12 different ways. And when they went through the answer, there's 12 different pathways. Couldn't they all go on the same pathway? No, each one has to do it his way, but you've got to come to the end. That's what Purim is telling us. And that's what the wine tells us on Purim as well. The yain is telling us, yes, you've got to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the right way. Let me just finish off with a little that's a paparos about wine and about the 10 sons of Haman. There's so many Ramazim in the Megillah, it's absolutely remarkable what's there. But let me tell you one interesting, which I found quite interesting. You remember in the Megillah, it says that when Haman had to take Mordechai couldn't get up on top of the horse, it was too high for him. So what did he do? He made Haman bend down, and when Haman bent down, he stamped on his back. Remember? Mordechai stamped on Haman's back. Fete Gemara, ben foila yivchal tismach. You're not allowed to make fun of your friends when he's down. You're not allowed to do that. Back to football again. If you're playing in the football team and you score a goal, you don't go, we scored the goal, you will. That's not the way to behave. That's goyish. The way you do it is, oh, that was a great goal that we scored. We're very sorry that we had to score it against you, but that way we're doing our best to win the game. And you'll do better next time. Learn from us. We'll show you how to score better next time. But you don't start making fun of the good people. You hear that, you go to the hear these football matches. As soon as somebody gets a goal, there's a roar and there's the bottles are thrown. Heavens knows what happens. That's not the way to behave. That's goyish. The Yiddish way is, you've scored a goal, be very happy. You've got to have your ambition without that. Nothing will happen. You've got to try to win. No, nobody says you've got to let the other side win. Nobody says that's right. If you had a goal scored against you, how would you like them to be treated? That's how you've got to treat the other side. So you can learn how to behave in any walk of life. That's how you've got to behave. So frankly, Gemara, then why did Mordechai stamp on Haman's back? Ah, says the Gemara, that's all right with ordinary situations. But here we're talking about Rishoyim. Ba'avoid Rishoyim Rino. If wicked people behave like that, there you can be happy that you destroy wicked people. With Amalek and Haman, the wicked people, we are not too great happy that you destroy. If the goy behaves like an average goy, then you mustn't make fun of him. You've got to treat him with derech eretz and show him how to behave and be pleasant and polite. But if the goy is a rosho, somebody's trying to kill you, then of course you do whatever you can and you can be joy happy when he's destroyed. So the Gemara says that Mordechai was perfectly justified in what he did because avoid roshoim rino. Now listen to this. If you take the 10 sons of Haman, can somebody quickly calculate for me how much the roshi tevas come to, the 10 sons of Haman? Add them all up. Get a Megillah and count them up quickly. Come on. Let's do some work. Megillah. No? Parashin Dos Savas. Paramashta. No, you can't pay for Parashas already. How many is the total of the first? Then when you've done that, tell me the last letters, how many, seven, I'll tell you now, seven of them end with an Aleph, two with a Yud, and one with a Nun. All right? So you're going to count up for me the gematria of the 10 Rashi Tevas of the 10 sons of Haman. Who can get there quickest? Come on. I'm waiting. Wrong. 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 A good guess, but it's wrong. It's wrong. Wrong. That's a different one. You're guessing. Come on, work it out.
256. 255.
You won out. 255. Not bad. It's 255. So, 255 is Reno. Who's in the middle? Rishoyim. They're all Rishoyim. Who's on the outside? Seven times Aleph. Seven times Aleph is Abed. Same gematria. How? So we're saying like this. Abed through Yayin, because that's the other 2 years, 2 years and a nun. Abed through Yayin, Rishoyim is Rino. But Abed, Rishoyim, Rino. Why? Because you've got the Rino is the Rosh Tevas. You've got Abed from the seven Aleph's on the Sofei Tevas, through Yayin, that's the other two, and the Rishoyim, of course, they're all Rishoyim, Avod Rishoyim, you know. So the 10 sons of Haman are telling you exactly what Mordechai did. And it came about through Yayin. So, I'm not saying that's the reason why we have Yayin. The reason why we have Yayin is like the Avodraham said, that everything in the Megillah, everything on Purim came through Yayin. Yayin teaches us how to behave, and therefore it's the Inyan to have Yayin, and that's why it's important to drink wine on Purim, more so than the other things are good for, in order to create happiness and a jolliness and a simcha, that you've got to do, that's also part of Purim. But the ikka is to drink wine. Right? But and you should remember that through the wine we can learn how we should behave, and we should remember what the Megillah is all about. That's what. And there's also another interesting machlokus, is whether you should be drinking wine all day or just at the Suda. According to the Rambam, it's mashma that the wine is part of the Suda. So you first of all listen to the Megillah. You do your Mishlach Monos, you do your Matunas Levirim, you can learn a little bit. And then when you come to the Suda, then you drink your wine. Although there are other people saying that wine is all day long as a mitzvah. I'll leave you to decide which you prefer. That's already, there are shitters about that. And the amount of wine you've got to drink is ad delo yada. There's lots of different days of what ad delo yada means. We said before, it means until you can't tell the difference between Mordechai and Haman. That's a pretty bit, that's a pretty big shikras. But others say it doesn't mean as much as that. Some say ad deloida, you only go ad velo ad bracha, only up to the time where if you go any further you won't be able to tell the difference. Although most people in ad deloida means you go right ad ve'ever ad bracha. That's one machlokas. And then there's a question of what it means. Some say it doesn't mean there's not difference between Mordechai and Haman. It means what they represent. In other words, both Mordechai and Haman were good for Klal Yisrael. Mordechai was good because he led Klal Yisrael. Haman was also good for Klal Yisrael because he made us do tshuva. It was like Meiro. And in order to understand the difference between the two ways which HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us do tshuva, that you have to have a bit of seichel to work out. That's pshat adelei do ben Mordechai Haman. And the other, fourth pshat, is the gematria is the same. Baruch Mordechai or Haman, the gematria is the same. And you start trying to work out the gematria when you're half drunk. You only have to be drunk enough not to be able to calculate the gematria. You don't need to be worse than that. There's all sorts of different shitters as to how it goes. There's another shitter which says that there used to be we say Shoshanas Yaakov, and we say Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. There used to be a piyut which went right through the Aleph base. Arur Haman's Aleph, Baruch Mordechai's base. There used to be a piyut which went right down to Tov. We don't have that piyut now, but there used to be a piyut. And when you could no longer say the whole of that piyut by heart, then you're already too drunk to count to do, you've done enough. So some people say you don't have to be completely tight drunk, you only have to be drunk to a lesser extent. So these are all different pshatim and different shitters. Going back to where we first started, you can see from now, from what I've said, that even if you were drunk during the rest of the year, and Purim, the drinking has got to be vanapuf. It's different from the drinking. The other drink you should never have done. You shouldn't have drunk. On Purim, there's a chiv to drink in order to be able to serve Hashem. That's where the napach, that's what you've got to do on Purim. The difference you make on Purim, you're going to drink to serve Hashem. The rest of the time you're just drinking because you enjoy drinking. Now, we're drinking to serve Hashem. And that is the hard part. And that's why the Hasidim say that Yom HaKippurim is a day like Purim. because Yom Kippur it's extremely easy to serve Hashem. You're fasting, there's no question. But on Purim, how hard is it to serve Hashem when you're drinking and when you're enjoying yourself and you're making fun of your rebbes and you're making all these things, having a great time, and you're still serving Hashem? Then you're going to go to the highest possible place. And as I said, we finish off on Purim. The idea is not to hurt your friend, to make fun of your friend, and to make your friend look silly. That's exactly the opposite of what Purim's all about. The idea on Purim is to make people feel good, to ensure everybody's involved. You've got somebody who's a little bit less capable than you, adirabba, bring him into the spiel, help him, make sure that he's part of the team, so that the whole of Purim is then worked out, so the whole ends up with shalom all round, and then we can move from there to the Geula of Pesach.